May it please the court. My name is Greg Wallace, and I represent Amy Thomas in this Social Security Disability Appeal. I know you've had a long morning, and my time before you is brief, so I will get right to the point. We have two arguments for reversal here. First, that the ALJ wrongly discredited the treating opinion of Dr. Hillier, who has treated Ms. Thomas for more than 10 years. The second argument is that the ALJ failed to identify and resolve a potential conflict between the VE's testimony and the DOT's reasoning levels. Now, let me take the second argument first. The ALJ limited Ms. Thomas to work requiring 1 to 2 step tasks, and that corresponds best to reasoning level 1 in the DOT classification system. The VE, however, identified two jobs. One, the label cutter job that requires reasoning at level 2, and second, a new accounts clerk job that requires reasoning at level 3. Now, there is a threshold issue, I think, lurking here that really was not joined in the briefs, and that is whether this limitation to 1 to 2 step task corresponds, in fact, to the DOT's reasoning level 1. We assume that in our argument, in our brief. The government didn't raise the question, but I figure that you probably would, so that's why I submitted the Rule 28J letter last week, citing two circuit court cases, one from the Ninth Circuit, the Rounds case, which was mentioned in the district court opinion, as well as the Henderson case from the Fourth Circuit, and a new, very thorough case from the District Court of Minnesota, the Lilja case, which was decided after we had submitted our reply brief in this case, in which all of these courts conclude that the limit, when an ALJ limits a claimant to jobs requiring 1 to 2 step tasks, that corresponds to the DOT. Level 1 reasoning.
Is obviously similar. So I wonder, I think the government has conceded that the level 2 job is off the table now, isn't that right?
Well, I if they have, that would be great, Your Honor. I'm not sure that they conceded that in their brief. Perhaps the government's counsel could clarify that. But they did not address the level 2 job. I think that's probably what you're referring to. We didn't address the level 2 job in the brief.
Okay. So if, in fact, the level 2 job is no longer in play, it's hard to see how the level 3 job could be.
Exactly, because the DOT reasoning levels go from the least complicated to the most. So I would think if she cannot do, if there's a conflict between the level 1 and level 2 reasoning, there certainly would be a conflict between level 1 and level 3.
We have cases that say that when there are jobs that overlap categories, that an ALJ can assume that when the VE gives his or her opinion that there are jobs that this person can do, he or she's talking about those jobs within that category that in fact required less ability than you would think the category itself would require. How do you respond to that?
Yes, this court in the Moore case, in the Hillier case, and in the Renfro case all talked about how a limitation to simple instructions would not necessarily be inconsistent with reasoning at level 2 or level 3. But a limitation to simple instructions does not correspond to any of the DOT reasoning levels. Here, if we assume that the limitation to 1 to 2 step tasks corresponds to reasoning level 1, which is that the person is limited to simple 1 to 2 step tasks, then we have a categorical conflict. And this conflict is evident on the face of the DOT classifications.
At least on the face of it, it's enough of a conflict to raise a question in the mind of the ALJ, I would think, that further inquiry needs to be made.
Exactly, Your Honor. And the DOT, the ALJs are familiar with these DOT reasoning levels, and the in this particular case, clearly she identified jobs with R2 and R3 reasoning, the ALJ's limitation to R1 reasoning. There is a potential or possible conflict, and that's all the case law in this court, the Moore case, the Kemp case, which dealt with overhead reaching. All that has to be identified is a possible or potential conflict.
So if we don't, I guess if we agree with your point one, there would just be a reversal. Is that right?
Yes, Your Honor.
If we don't, then what you're asking for is a remand on the second point.
Yes, Your Honor, the remand to have. Now, it's very possible that these jobs could be performed by somebody with reasoning at level one. And in this case, Ms. Thomas suffers from borderline intellectual functioning. It's possible, but that would have to be explained by the VE to say, look, you have to, I've observed these jobs, and I think a significant number of them could be performed by a person with reasoning level one. But without that explanation, then we have a violation of Social Security ruling 00-4P, as well as this court's case law in the Moore and Kemp cases, for this unresolved conflict.
In this case, the ALJ did ask, is this consistent with and the answer was yes, it is. How do we approach that? The question was asked. It was answered, yes, this is all good to go. Who has the burden in that situation? Is it the fault of the vocational expert? Is it the fault of the ALJ to not see, when I say fault, I mean, use that loosely, but who has that responsibility to sort of follow up if that is indeed an erroneous answer?
Yes, once the claimant demonstrates either she has no past relevant work or she cannot perform that, then the sequential analysis moves to step five. That's where the burden shifts to the government to come forth with evidence that the claimant is capable of performing other work in the economy. So in answer to your question, I would say that burden is on the ALJ. Social Security ruling 004P places that burden squarely on the ALJ. The Pearson case out of the Fourth Circuit also places that burden on the ALJ. And in the Kemp case, in this circuit, the court specifically said that it's not enough simply for the ALJ to ask if there's a conflict and the VE to say, no, there's no conflict. So I think that in this particular case, the ALJ failed to resolve this conflict, and for that reason, we would ask for reversal. The second argument we have is that the ALJ improperly discounted the treating doctor's opinion here. The ALJ gave two reasons. One was that she did not seek specialized treatment. And as we've answered that in our brief, I think the problem there is that she didn't have the financial means to seek specialized treatment. She was off and on of Medicaid. When she did have her Medicaid, she did go for treatment, particularly for a mental health provider, but she testified that she could not afford treatment when she didn't have that. With respect to the daily activities, none of the activities that the ALJ identified are inconsistent with the limitations that Dr. Hollis placed on her. So we ask for reversal on both or one of these reasons, Your Honor, and I'll reserve the rest of my time for a rebuttal. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Wallace. Ms. Wormani?
Good morning, and may it please the court. My name is Tracy Wormani, and I represent Nancy A. Berryhill, the Acting Commissioner of Social Security. Your Honors, I'd like to start with the first point in this case, which is whether the ALJ properly relied on vocational testimony at step five of his analysis. Now, as an initial matter, I'd like to clarify the issues here. The government conceded that the job with a reasoning level of two exceeded the ALJ's RFC in terms of the exertional level, not in terms of the reasoning level. So the issue here really comes down to whether the job with a reasoning level of 3 passed muster. The ALJ here, at the end of the day, limited Ms. Thomas to unskilled work under the regulatory definition of unskilled work, and the vocational expert identified an unskilled job under the regulations that she could perform. Now, the ALJ here specifically found that Ms. Thomas could perform work involving few judgments, little variable, occasional workplace changes, and the jobs had to be learned in 30 days or less. This is entirely consistent with the regulatory definition of unskilled work, which is work that requires little or no judgment to perform simple duties that can be learned in a short period of time. And the ALJ in this case went even one step further within his RFC assessment. He specified that he was limiting Ms. Thomas to jobs with a specific vocational preparation level of 1 or 2, which again corresponds to the regulatory definition of unskilled work. So even with that limitation to 1 to 2 step tasks, the ALJ, under the regulations, placed Ms. Thomas in the category of unskilled work. And the vocational expert here identified an unskilled job with a specific vocational preparation level of 2 that she could perform. Now, Ms. Thomas would have us focus on the comparison between the RFC in this case with the limitation to 1 to 2 step tasks and the reasoning level of 3 contained in the DOT. However, in comparing those two, she loses sight of the big picture in this case, which is, again, that under the regulations, we have an unskilled job. Our vocational expert identified an unskilled job she could perform. The Social Security rulings explain that vocational evidence, including the DOT, cannot be used to establish that an unskilled job under the agency's regulatory definition has duties that exceed the definition of unskilled work. So here, when read in that context, again, Ms. Thomas would like us to read the reasoning level of 3 in isolation. But when read in context, the DOT says that this is an SVP2 job. Therefore, it follows that regardless of the reasoning level, it is still within the category of unskilled work, which is entirely consistent with the ALJ's RFC finding in this case. And that is the end of the day, big picture focus here.
How then do we factor in the part of the RFC that says a complexity of 1 to 2 step tasks?
Right.
What meaning does that have then in the context of the hypothetical to the VE?
Right. And so looking at the DOT, again, it says this is an SVP2 job. And in the regulations, that corresponds to our definition of unskilled work. So our contention is that reasoning level 1 to 3 in this scenario all fall into unskilled work, which at the end of the day is consistent with the ALJ's RFC finding. He specifically limited Ms. Thomas to jobs with a specific vocational preparation level of 1 or 2. And the part of the DOT that corresponds to the regulatory framework is the SVP, the skill level. That's really the contention here in this case.
Well, I wonder, assuming I'm not quite understand your, I'm not sure I understand your argument completely, but assuming you're correct, why is there nevertheless some duty here on the part of the ALJ? Perhaps I'm not understanding, I'm not presuming correctly how much the ALJs know about the DOT, but why isn't, when the answer comes back, why shouldn't that have piqued the interest of the ALJ enough to say, well, how do you explain that when I've given you this RFC? You know what I'm saying?
Right, Your Honor.
Maybe the VE had an explanation, but
right.
I'm not sure that the ALJ shouldn't have said, well, wait a second, this is I told you about the one or two step.
Right. And so the ALJ in this case asked the VE, is your testimony consistent with the DOT? And he said yes. And I point out that as the magistrate judge pointed out in her order in this case, because the law in this circuit is yet unresolved as to this very particular issue, the ALJ had a reasonable basis at the time of the hearing for relying on that testimony. The magistrate judge's order goes into great detail, citing various cases, but this court has never issued a bright line rule saying that either level two or level three reasoning is inconsistent with unskilled work. So we maintain that the ALJ fulfilled his duty to ask and inquire about a potential inconsistency, and he had a reasonable basis for relying on that testimony. I'd also point out that Ms. Thomas has pointed to district court decisions from various district courts and cases from outside the circuit, but again, this court has yet to lay down a bright line rule as to this issue. She has specifically referred to this 2017 District of Minnesota case. However, in that case, the judge conceded that the law in this circuit is still unresolved, yet they chose to follow the lead of the Ninth Circuit in finding that one- to two-step tasks is more consistent with level one reasoning. And as a final point, hitting on the treating physician's opinion in this case, the treating physician here said that Ms. Thomas could not perform even sedentary work, and that is the least physically demanding type of work possible. He said that she could not walk even one block, she could stand for up to 5 minutes at a time, and could only sit for 10 minutes at a time. So while some of Ms. Thomas's activities may have been completed while sitting in a chair, her activities as a whole are inconsistent with these severe limitations. She cared independently for her 5-year-old son. She went to a karaoke bar approximately twice a month. She was able to care for her personal hygiene and perform these household chores. I mean, even if sitting down, that's still inconsistent with the opinion that she could not sit for even 10 minutes at a time, for only 10 minutes at a time. And as to her failure to seek treatment for physical impairments, she has cited her lack of Medicaid or her lack of Medicaid coverage, the fact that she lost her health insurance, but she still has not put forth any evidence that she sought and was denied treatment due to an insufficient funds or lack of insurance, which has long been the standard before this court. She also has not put forth any evidence that she sought and was denied treatment due to that she even sought to seek out low-cost or no-cost medical treatment. And I'd finally point out that the relevant period in this case begins in January 2013, and our record reflects that she had regained her Medicaid coverage as of February 2014, yet as to physical impairments, she did not seek any specialized treatment for the remaining 8 months of the relevant period, which is inconsistent with the extreme degree of physical limitation Dr. Hollis assessed. Therefore, substantial evidence supports both the ALJ's Step 5 determination and his evaluation of the treating physician's opinion in this case. We respectfully request that this court uphold both the ALJ and district court's decision and deny Ms. Thomas's appeal. Thank you for your time.
Mr. Wallace, your rebuttal.
May it please the court, I have just a couple of quick points left on rebuttal. The government's argument is that because the ALJ limited Ms. Thomas to unskilled work, that's no conflict with reasoning level three. That's not exactly true. In the Lucy case, which is cited at page 26 in our brief, the court recognized there that unskilled work can encompass multiple different reasoning categories, but the court said that sometimes people who are limited to unskilled work but also limited to reasoning level one cannot perform jobs with that require reasoning at level two. But what's important here is the ALJ went on to add additional restrictions to his RFC finding. He went on to find that she could only perform jobs that have no more than few variables with occasional changes in the workplace. Well, guess what? Reasoning level three requires the ability to be able to contend with several concrete variables. So there is an inconsistency here. The ALJ failed to identify it and resolve it, and for that reason, the case should be reversed. Thank you, Your Honor.
Thank you, Mr. Wallace. Thank you also, Ms. Wormani. Court appreciates counsel's presence and argument to the court. We'll take the case under advisement.